Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
And now, Soundcheck looks back at the pop charts of yesteryear and asks,
that was a hit?
Everybody was kung fu fighting.
They're coming to take me away, haha.
Time for another installment of That Was a Hit, our series about songs that have unexpectedly made their way to the top of the charts. And joining me here in the studio is Mario Correa from SiriusXM's Entertainment Weekly Live. Mario, welcome to Soundcheck.
Hi, nice to see you, John.
With a song that seems like it probably shouldn't have even made it onto the radio, let alone on the charts.
That's absolutely right. So it's the spring of 1985. We Are the World had just been the number one song in America, famine in Ethiopia, and all of a sudden, a white English guy rapping about chess becomes the number three song on the Hot 100.
It comes from a musical.
It does. It does. It comes from a concept album for a musical called Chess. But even before that, I should tell you about this guy, Murray Head, because it sort of leads into this whole musical idea. So Murray Head is an English actor at the time. He's on a lot of TV shows in England and some movies. And in about 71 or so, he's in Hair on the West End of London. And Andrew Lloyd Webber and Tim Rice spot him in Hair. They like what he does. They say, hey, we're doing this concept album for a musical called Jesus Christ Superstar. Will you sing the role of Judas Iscariot for us? Mm-hmm. So he does, and he ends up having a number 14 pop hit in the U.S. with Superstar. So all of a sudden, you know, he's sort of a little pop guy. And flash forward about 7 or 8 years later, and Tim Rice has an idea for a musical about the Cuban Missile Crisis. But Andrew Lloyd Webber is not biting. He's going to go and write Cats, which I guess in hindsight was not a bad idea. Yeah. So Tim Rice says, all right, I'm going to go find someone else to write this musical about the Cuban Missile Crisis. And he hooks up with Benny Anderson and Bjorn Ulvaeus from ABBA.
From ABBA.
Exactly. So they get together and they morph this idea and turn it into a musical about Soviet and U.S. Cold War tensions through the prism of these chess championships.
I love this. So Cuban Missile Crisis turns into a chess game.
Exactly. Meanwhile, you think like that Andrew Lloyd Webber probably had a good idea to like avoid this altogether and go sing about felines. Yeah.
So Murray Head in this production of Chess,
He's the guy.
He's the guy. Magnus Carlsen, the slick 22-year-old Norwegian who just won the championship last week.
Exactly. And even before he gets on stage, though, they need to create this concept album for the musical to sell the musical, to bring investors on, to build a following so they can put this thing on stage. So Tim Rice says, hey, I know a guy. I'm going to call Murray Head, the guy who sang on our concept album for Superstar. So Murray Head comes in, sings, and this song called One Night in Bangkok was supposed to begin the second act of the musical. And the idea is that, exactly, he's this chess master, the American, and he is going to Bangkok in the original version of the musical because it's changed many times. Mm-hmm. It's a problem musical, John. But in the original version, he's supposed to be there to essentially sort of comment on this great chess match in Bangkok. And he's all about the chess and not about Bangkok. And so in the song, he's dissing Bangkok while talking about how chess is why he's there.
I can feel an angel sliding up to me.
One town's very like another when your head's down over your pieces, brother.
It's a drag, it's a bore. It's really such a pity to be looking at the ball, not looking at the city.
What do you mean? You've seen one crowded, polluted, thinking town. Get tired, you're talking to a tourist whose every move's among the purists. I get my kids above the waistline, sunshine.
One night in Bangkok makes the heart man humble. Not much between despair and ecstasy. One night in Bangkok and the tough guys crumble. Can't be too careful with your company. I can feel the devil walking next to me.
Well, there is a reason we call this segment That Was a Hit.
Yeah, it's hard not to laugh when you're listening to it. Although I do think it's such a catchy melody,
Full disclosure, I owned this song. And I went out and bought this record.
You and me both. You and me both. But you know what's so funny? It's like, it's such a strange topic for a pop hit. But when you listen to the song, you have no idea what it's about. So I remember being like a 15-year-old kid my sophomore year in high school, you know, dancing to the song, singing to it, thinking it was just the greatest thing. But then if you like listen to the lyrics, then it's, oh, okay, it is about chess. You know, when he's like, one town's very like another when your head's down over your pieces, brother. Yeah. And then it's interesting, it's actually this dialogue between him and the locals. So the locals are saying, no, it's a drag, it's a bore to be looking, it's a pity to be looking at the board when you're not looking at the city. So like, They're like trying to like create like a tourist interest in Bangkok. So then it kind of fits
and
into
a certain type of tourist.
Well, that's true.
In Bangkok, you know, in the line, you know, I get my kicks above the waistline, sunshine.
Exactly sort of, right. Exactly right.
So this is from the concept album / musical called Chess. And the song is One Night in Bangkok, written and recorded in 84, and it hits the charts in 85. Murray Head is credited. I mean, that's his voice doing the spoken part, but somebody else is singing the
exactly.
chorus.
Exactly. Anders Glenmark actually did the chorus, and he was a session singer, a Swedish session singer, who'd worked with ABBA previously, and he'd been a backup singer on a number of singles for various of the ABBA members and for the band, and so they brought him in. And so we associate Murray Head with singing the chorus, but no, that's actually not him. It's Anders Glenmark, and in fact, his sister is on that too. And then you have the Ambrosia singers, who are choral ensemble from London, who sing, and the London Symphony Orchestra is doing the orchestration. So, I mean, it's everyone except basically a white guy named Murray Head who's sort of behind this thing. But
And again, to just make clear, the song was written by the two guys behind the band ABBA.
Yep.
From Sweden, and Tim Rice. From Evita and Jesus Christ Superstar,
exactly.
Et cetera, which is where he first met and where we first heard Murray Head. Now, you mentioned the orchestra. The radio version was not the full song.
That's right. So they released two versions to radio. And this is where you can tell now, in hindsight, the theatrical roots of the song. There's a fully 1 minute long musical introduction, which if you can picture yourself sitting in the theater, it's the beginning of Act Two of Chess. The lights go down, and like many musicals, you have, you know, the orchestra swelling, you hear the songs, you know, the tunes, and then someone comes out and sings. Well, that's exactly what happened in the original One Night in Bangkok. You've got a minute of instrumental, and then that white guy rapping comes in and starts rapping about Bangkok. But most radio stations played a truncated version just starting at Murray Head's rap. And I think we have both versions.
We can listen to the orchestral opening of the original version of One Night in Bangkok. And that is where most radio stations actually began the song.
That's exactly right. And you know, it's funny, when it took off as a single, which it did quickly, it actually peaked in 12 weeks, so that was a fairly fast rise up the charts. Then radio started playing the full version, because once, you know, you were familiar with it, you were willing to sort of listen to the whole thing. And it's funny listening to it now. I mean, it's both well done in a way, hilariously kind of camp and sort of like what an English/Swedish group of folks think Asia sounds like.
Well, yes,
you know?
It's got that kind of, you know, postcard exoticism to
right.
it.
Right. And the video is like
cheese factor, very high. Here.
Well, do you remember the video, John? I'm not sure if you saw it.
I do remember the video, which involved like life-size chess pieces.
Exactly right. So essentially, like, he walks into this like Bangkok bar, and he's dressed exactly like Tom Wolfe in like head-to-toe like white suit with these white and black patent leather shoes. And then he's like starts rapping at us. And meanwhile, the folks who are supposed to be the Thais in this equation, who look basically like sort of random non-English people in England, mm-hmm. were brought into the video to look like Thais, are there sort of playing the Thai role. And then there's a big sort of white and black linoleum floor in the back, which is sort of the chessboard. And there's these white folks dancing in these very sort of stylized moves. And it's the kind of thing where no wonder that it's sort of picking up steam again. There's 13 million views on YouTube for that single, because hipsters now look at that thing and think, these people are crazy.
Yeah. We're speaking with Mario Correa from Sirius SiriusXM's Entertainment Weekly Live, and this edition of our regular series, That Was a Hit, looking at the song One Night in Bangkok from the musical Chess, and featuring the English actor and singer Murray Head. How big a hit are we talking about?
Huge. So the song was number one in many countries. It was number three on the Billboard Hot 100. It was the number five dance hit. It even hit on the R&B charts here in the States. Internationally, it was number three in Canada. It was number two in France and Norway. It went to number one in Spain. I mean, it was a big international hit. In the UK, interestingly, it was a bit smaller of a hit, a number 12 hit over there. But so much so that it was actually covered a number of times. So that very same year, oddly, a Canadian singer-songwriter named Roby covered the hit and had a dance club hit with it. And then a couple of years ago, a German band also covered it. So it's had some lasting power. And, you know, you could not turn on Q107 in Bethesda, Maryland, where I was, a 15-year-old, and not hear One Night in Bangkok. But what's interesting, too, is, like, it rose fairly quickly. So it took 12 weeks to peak, and it dropped in 8. So it was the kind of thing where, like, people were like, oh, this is really cool. It's really interesting. And, yeah, not so much.
So the song itself is kind of like, you know, it ramps up with that orchestral thing, and then suddenly you're into the dance thing.
Right.
And then at the end, you have an equally abrupt drop-off at the end of the song, sort of betraying its roots as part of a musical.
That's exactly right, you know, because when I was listening to it now, I was thinking, well, how could I not have known right away that it was from a musical? Because, you know, most songs on the radio fade out, and which is both, you know, the musician's choice, but also helpful for folks playing the songs on the radio who can then talk over that fade out and introduce the next song, all the rest of it. Well, One Night in Bangkok just clips and just ends on one beat, and that's it, like sayonara, or otherwise in on PC, vaguely Asian thing to say, not Thai. And so listening, you're like, oh, of course. And that's because in the musical, that's the signal, right? The music ends, you as an audience member know to clap,
right.
The song is over, the next song will begin.
This is the ending of One Night in Bangkok.
Boom.
That's all, folks.
So, you know, this brings up the question of songs from musicals becoming hits.
Right. It used to happen in the 60s. So, you know, Hello Dolly was a number one song. People from Funny Girl was a number five song, Barbara Streisand. And then, you know, Murray Head, our friend Murray Seafield St. George Head, had a hit with Superstar back in 71. But that really faded out during the rock era, as we were discussing. So essentially, very, very few songs now cross over from stage to the pop charts. In fact, Murray Head and One Night in Bangkok was the very last one to hit even the top 20. And really, it's also given life to Chess as well, because Chess is one of those sort of so-called problem musicals, you know? It's a musical where people really loved the score. So you listen to the cast album, you're like, oh, this is great, this is interesting, like the synthesizers, the rock thing, blah, 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 blah. But the book was considered terrible. They tried to fix the book. The show opened in London and ran, actually, for a couple of years. It came to Broadway and became a huge flop. It was only here for 2 months. And Richard Nelson, the playwright, was brought in to fix the book. He's now actually at the Public with his Apple Family cycle of plays. He was brought in to fix Chess. It didn't work. It closed after 2 months. And there have been many, many productions that have tried to revive this musical and fix it. And Tim Rice has rejiggered it around the entire time. He's moved One Night in Bangkok into the first act, lengthened it. I mean, that song is trying to give it more legs in the show. And it's beloved by, like, real musical theater geeks, but not by critics and audiences.
But the song continues to kind of, you know, come back. You know, just when you think it's dead and buried, it resurrects itself.
Oh, yeah.
Including a recent a shot in the arm from an unexpected source, right?
Yeah, very unexpected. The Hangover Part 2 has a long segment with Mike Tyson singing quote unquote One Night in Bangkok. And if you think the Murray Head rap has trouble sticking to the beat, the Mike Tyson version will really surprise you.
I can feel the angels sliding up to me. One pound, very like another, and your head down on your pieces, brother.
It's really such a pity to be looking at the board, not looking at the city.
What do you mean? You see one crowded, polluted, stinking town.
Tea girls, warm and sweet, summer's in a
summer's in Mount Sweet.
Get tired to talk to a tourist whose every move's among the purists. I get my kick above the waistline, sunshine.
One night in Bangkok makes a hard man humble. Not much between despair and ecstasy. One night in Bangkok makes the tough guys tumble.
You know, that, I'm totally at a loss for words here.
Well, on the plus side, it goes to show there are some limits to auto-tune. There's some things you just cannot fix in post, and that's one of them. You know, I didn't think about how some of the lyrics, when sung by Mike Tyson, take an added layer of irony. The whole idea that he gets his kicks above the waistline, I don't know about that.
Yeah,
but anyway, yeah. So that was a little bit sort of a rebirth of the song just a few years ago.
Oh, my goodness. So will we ever see It's Like again? You know, a song from a musical, whether failed or successful, hitting the very upper echelons of the American pop charts?
You know, that's a great question. I wonder. Here's the reason why I think there is still a little bit of hope. And that's because with so many of these musicals now coming from the movies and being made, remade for the stage, not saying it's a good thing, but because it is happening, you are sort of now bringing back sort of pop culture elements onto the stage. So I can see them essentially then having kind of that bounce back. But certainly stylistically, in terms of where music has gone, you wouldn't think that they would make a natural transition back.
Well, I think when they were first putting Spider-Man together and got Bono and the Edge from U2 to write the score, I'm sure somebody was thinking, hey, we're going to get like top 10 singles out of this.
And right, exactly.
It did not happen.
They got something out of it, but not that.
Mario Correa writes and regularly contributes to Entertainment Weekly Live on Sirius XM, and he's been with us in the Soundcheck studio for this installment of That Was a Hit. And yes, indeed, in 1985, One Night in Bangkok from the musical Chess, featuring Murray Head, was in fact a hit. Mario, thanks for the look back.
Thanks so much, John.
Thank God I'm only watching the game, controlling it. I don't see you guys rating the kind of mate I'm contemplating. I'd let you watch, I would invite you, but the queens we use would not excite you.